And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight on a Tuesday covering the Rowdies like I usually do. However, Carlos, although we are covering the Rowdies, we don't actually have a game to talk about. Instead, there was a storm this past weekend, and that got in the way of the game that we were supposed to be talking about. And I guess that we are left to talk about not only the game to come, but also your new prop this week.
Yeah, this is my friend Bella. She's very old now. She's never made an appearance on the pod, James. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but she decided to pop in the room today. Want to say hi. She's very, like, can you see her? Look how, like, just chill she is today.
Very chill.
Used to be so...
Very like, calm.
Anxious, little, you know, scrappy little crusty white dog, but she's cool now. She's like 13. So how old is that dog years? It's like 91.
Many.
Yeah. So she's a little older now, but she's chilling. She's still hanging on and, you know, watching all the Rowdies games. We got to hang out a lot this week because we hunkered down on Thursday. You can go now, Bella. It's okay. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Let me open the door for her, James. Hold on. She wants to get outside.
Yes. Well, in the meantime, we will continue with the Rowdies chat. But like I said, and like Carlos referred to there, we did not get a game because this past week we actually got Hurricane Helene. If you are not under a rock, then you definitely knew that Hurricane Helene was a problem. It is a problem for those of us in the Tampa Bay area, but it is an even bigger problem for those of us outside the Tampa Bay area, actually. There was just a literal path of destruction waged by a hurricane. So that was obviously very bad, but I guess it's not too surprising ultimately that the game that we were waiting for was postponed. And ultimately that's probably not the biggest of deals considering everything that happened.
Yeah, it was a wild time, James. It was one of those things where it didn't seem like it would cause too much of a problem. And then you start listening to Dennis Phillips on the TV the day of, and they start warning you about the storm surge.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it, like, you know, be so far off the coast and still have such a crazy effect on us the way it did. On a lighter note, I am very sad about the fact that I didn't get my hand on any of those maracas, and I hope they're okay. And I hope they didn't get swept away by the storm surge. But it's crazy. It really is crazy how, like, on one hand, how lucky we got in Tampa. On the other hand, how unfortunate it was for folks closer to the water. It's crazy. The storm surge that came in, James, was wild. Clearly took its toll on Al Lang, obviously, as the game got canceled this past weekend, like we said. I don't know anything about the stadium's conditions. I've been meaning to try and, like, get over there and just take a peek. But, I mean, I live on the Tampa side, kind of in town and country area, close to Oldsmar. So it's kind of a hike. And I just haven't been able to get over there. But I do recall seeing a single picture, like one picture of Al Lang kind of in the midst of the chaos. The parking lot looks very, very flooded. The field is at, you know, surface level. It's not elevated or anything.
Right.
So I can't imagine that the field, you know, fared much better than the parking lot outside. It might be even more exposed to the water. It's kind of facing the ocean over there in that opening. So truly, I can't imagine Al Lang did too well. I hope there's not too much long-term damage or anything like that. But again, we have no kind of like official report about what the stadium's looking like, playable conditions for the next, what, couple home games. I guess three home games, counting this one that we just got postponed. So we'll have to see. That's all we can do. But I'm, you know, best wishes to everybody out there. Again, I know so many folks were severely affected by this, lost a lot of, you know, property in their home, lost a lot of things in their home, and just took a lot of damage. So best wishes to anybody out there who took some damage and who might still be even without power to this day, James. And there's a lot of folks going through that. So,
yeah,
I know the Rays and the Rowdies, I can mention this a little more later on, pledged, I think it was $1 million to relief efforts. And so did the Bucks. Saw something about the Lightning as well. So, it's good to see the Tampa community still kind of rallying around each other and supporting each other. And it seems to be like a much more difficult time than anticipated.
Yeah.
And again, hearts go out to all the folks in like North Carolina, especially, who seem to like not ever in a million years expect anything like this to happen. It's just crazy. It's crazy how quickly things can change with these kind of things, James.
Yeah.
Humbles you. But yeah, so like again, all things in context, soccer, not the most important thing in the world this week.
Yeah.
But James and I still here want to talk about the Rowdies game coming up this week. Hopefully take our minds off some of the chaos for a little bit. James, big game this week. All things, you know, in context still is a huge game for both of these teams. Hartford is still going to be thinking about this game, by the way, that was postponed because they're smack in the middle of the playoff race. And there's a ton of big results this week that affected the playoff race in the East and the West Coast. I want to get to later on. But James, before we jump into any of that, anything else we should mention, such as maybe liking, subscribing on YouTube or anything like that? Anything important?
Well, I would ask that anybody listening, anybody watching, anybody who is somehow getting this in some other third way that we don't know about, Please do like and subscribe to us on YouTube or whatever major podcast platform you're using or whatever other third thing that you're using. And use your social media as well. Follow us wherever you use your social media. I am mostly on Twitter, so I follow RBLR there, but being a contracted member of the staff, I also follow on all the other things where I actually have accounts. Whatever you use, though, please do follow RBLR Sports and join us there so that you can contribute to the conversation. Please join us in this conversation specifically today because we do have some things to talk about, but as you can surely guess, it is not as many things as we were planning on talking about. We don't even know when the game is going to be postponed to when we're going to actually play Hartford at this point. So in the meantime, you can let us know if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the Rowdies, about the Sun, about us, whatever. Sure. We are open books at this point, but yeah. We will get into the topics that we did include in the show today, Carlos. Let's jump into those couple more things that we have.
Let's do it. James, again, going off the rails today, taking suggestions on new hairstyles, if I should shave my beard or not. We can just kill time with that too if we run out of stuff to talk about. But James, again, nothing to recap here, so let's skip the part where we usually recap the game and talk about some other results around the league. Quick standings update. Important thing to note here, we'll get to it in a second. First of all, I'll just mention that Louisville's still in first place, if that surprises anybody. They have 65 points from 29 games, and they're 6 points ahead of Charleston, with a game in hand, by the way, who have 59 points from 30 games. Not that many games left in the season, James. We're coming up on that home stretch. Louisville seeming like they're going to lock in that first place spot.
Yeah.
Charleston more than likely in that second place spot, much more likely than Detroit or the Rowdies. Speaking of Detroit, Detroit has officially leapfrogged the Rowdies, going into third place in the Eastern Conference with 48 points from 30 games played. Obviously, the Rowdies have that game in hand from this past weekend. We have 46 points from 29 games played. So 2 points back with a potential 3 point to catch up on from this past weekend. Don't take anything for granted. Hartford is in pretty good form, and they certainly seem like a team that can come out and get a result against us, especially in these kind of weird times where we don't even know if the Rowdies training facility was in full, you know, operational capacity or anything like that, or if they're able to train kind of at a normal pace. So strange times for the Rowdies coming up on this last stretch of the season, but still hanging on in fourth place, having dropped one spot. Indy 11 sneaking up behind us from 29 games played. They're only 3 points back with 43 points. Keep an eye on them. And our opponents for this upcoming weekend, James, Rhode Island FC, our first time visiting that state. They have 43 points as well from 30 games played. So also just 3 points behind us, having played an extra game. Huge game for them. They want to, slide up the table as much as possible in their first year. Certainly not a bad season, James, for their first season in the USL. Certainly doing pretty well. And we'll get to kind of how they're doing in a little bit when we talk about that preview in a big game in Rhode Island. And then Birmingham still fighting, seventh place, 42 points. And the last team in the playoff bubble in the Eastern Conference, James, is Loudoun United with 38 points. They're still holding on. This bottom part, and I've said this before, James, this bottom part of the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference of the playoff qualification is going to be where all the movement happens. There's a lot of movement to be made here between Birmingham, between Loudoun, Hartford, Pittsburgh. North Carolina is still in the race, and they're all the way down in 11th place. They're only 2 points out of the playoff spot. They took a big hit this week as well with the loss to who was it? To El Paso, of all teams, the worst place, the last place team in the Western Conference, put a huge dent in North Carolina's playoff hopes, but they're still only 2 points out. So keep an eye on the bottom of this table, James. There's going to be a lot of movement here still. There's still a few games left to be played. And again, the 11th place team and the 8th place team are only separated by 2 points. Lots of movement to be made here for that last playoff spot. And of course, our friends at Miami FC did break, by the way, double digits. I don't know if we mentioned that when that happened. They're at 11 points, but they lost 4-0 again to Indy 11. James, you want to? Oh my goodness, I can't speak English. You want to walk us through what's happening out west?
Yeah, I can jump in there. So there were a couple of big games that happened out west. First of all, Sacramento Republic beat New Mexico 4-0 at home. Phoenix lost at home 2-1 to Las Vegas Lights. Well done to Las Vegas. And San Antonio lost 3-1 to Rhode Island in Texas. So that was also an interesting result. But the standings, as it is right now, New Mexico stayed top, even though they lost, and they stayed top with 57 points from their 30 games played. They are 10 ahead of the victors, Sacramento, who have played 29 games. So that's an interesting difference there. Good for New Mexico, and I think that they have really, I don't know, just become a different team than I certainly expected them to be. But well done. Switchbacks and Las Vegas each have 46 points. And then behind them on 43 points is Memphis 901 FC. So that one is also relatively close. You just have to pick up on Sacramento 47, Switchbacks Las Vegas 46, Memphis 43. All of those very tight pack again. Not quite the same type. Well, I guess it is the same tight pack beneath them at the same time. But it's not as big a set of margins on the West Coast as it is here on the East Coast. So all of that to take into consideration if and when we get into the playoffs and ultimately see which games we might have, depending on our final placements, to play at home. So it's all very interesting stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of big results this week, James. Like I mentioned, I think the biggest one that's caught my eye just looking through them, I didn't notice it on Saturday. But like I said, El Paso beating North Carolina at home is irrelevant for El Paso, but hugely, hugely consequential for North Carolina, who's again trying to sneak into that last playoff spot. So that's going to put a huge dent into their hopes. And by the way, fun little tidbit here that I think kind of got swept under the radar this week. In Indy 11's 4-0 drubbing off Miami FC, it actually took a little bit for them to get going. It was a 62nd minute penalty by Rowdy's legend Jack Blake to put Indy 11 up 1-0. But the storyline here that I think nobody really talked about this week was Augie Williams getting a 13-minute hat trick. Did you notice this, James? Did anybody pick up on this? I didn't see this anywhere on Twitter. I don't know why nobody was talking about it. But Augie Williams scored a hat trick in 13 minutes between the 73rd minute and 86th minute. Absolutely insane. And he followed it up with a yellow card in 87th minute. So an incredibly eventful 14 minutes for Augie Williams to really seal the deal in that win against Miami FC. Louisville City won at home against Memphis 901 FC. Nothing surprising there. 4-2. They're still the team to beat, but Charleston is not much. Actually, you know what? I said Charleston is a team to beat last week. Actually, I'm going to stick with that. Charleston's still the team to beat, but Louisville and Charleston are certainly, I think right now, a class above the rest of the East. Anything else in the results this week that I wanted to mention? Colorado Springs, who's been on a tear at home, finally dropped points to none other than Loudoun United FC, who got a huge point in their quest to hold on to that last playoff spot. So tons of movement here, tons of big results for teams around the league. You mentioned the Rhode Island win in San Antonio, a pretty impressive result, playing away to a team that usually does pretty well at home. Rhode Island, pretty good run of form. Again, we'll talk about them in a minute here. Detroit City obviously got that win away to Monterey Bay, where we struggled, James, and leapfrogged us in the table. Okay, that is essentially everything that happened this weekend. You mentioned the other result I wanted to mention, Sacramento killing New Mexico United at home 4-0. That's insane to me, first of all, because of the significant gap between Sacramento and New Mexico in the table. It's going to be really interesting. I would put all my money in the world that's the conference final we see in the West, New Mexico and Sacramento. Clearly, Sacramento has their number at home, but I think we could see a really interesting game in New Mexico when we square up. Almost inevitably, I don't see any other team really being able to stop them unless Colorado Springs plays at home against one of them, which could be the case, but unlikely against Sacramento, who's pulling away slightly. Okay, James, that was more than anything a way for us to kill time. No, I'm joking. But there was actually some really interesting results in here and some good games. Like I said, feel free to kill some time and go back and watch the highlights from a few of these games. The Augie Williams hat trick is really impressive. Which result was it? What game was it? The Las Vegas win in Phoenix is a really interesting rewatch, by the way. If you just want to catch the last 30 minutes of it, Las Vegas scored in the 96th and the 99th minute to win that one 2-1 in Phoenix. So that was an interesting result over there as well. Independent of the 2-1 result, stoppage time goals like that. Absolutely insane. So some good games to go. Check out the highlights if you want. I know there's no Rowdies highlights to watch. So if that's your thing, there's some stuff to keep an eye on in the USL. And certainly plenty to keep an eye on going forward with this playoff race. James, okay. Again, that was everything that happened in the USL.
Every possible thing.
Yeah, we could let's go in and talk about the USL League One, USL League Two. Let's just break it.
The Jägermeister Cup final was this past Saturday.
Was it? Well, I did not actually know that. Who won the Jägermeister Cup? What's it called? Jägermeister Cup.
The USL Jägermeister Cup final was between Forward Madison and the Northern Colorado Hailstorm. And Northern Colorado won on penalties. So that was actually pretty fun. I made my wife watch that. So apologies to her, but we did get to see a pretty fun little game.
Okay. Sicko's behavior from James here, but certainly an entertaining watch when it's the Jägermeister Cup. I did forget about that. How could I?
My one real good anecdote from watching that was, before we move on, I really should hit this. The player who scored the goal for Northern Colorado, no, who scored the goal for Forward Madison, his name escapes me now, but he is apparently one of the leading goal scorers within this specific competition, the Jägermeister Cup. Okay. And he was labeled the Jägermeister Cup legend. I gotta say, I really like that. That seems like a title that should really be coveted within the soccer world.
The Jägermeister. I think I knew a guy we called the Jägermeister Cup legend at the local bar in DC. I'm pretty sure we also had a Jägermeister Cup legend. Good for him. I just fought mob checked you. Bruno Rendon, does that ring a bell?
It was Bruno Rendon. Yes.
Wow.
Bruno Rendon was the Jägermeister Cup legend. I loved that. Absolutely loved that.
Bruno Rendon, Cuba U20 national, AC Syracuse Pulse former player. Apparently that was a team I forgot about. Do you think he's telling his family that he was the Jägermeister Cup legend? Was that what it was called, the Jägermeister Cup legend?
This was just something off the cuff from the commentator who was describing him, because he was leading the goal scoring charts and then he went and scored again. So I'm assuming that either this has not got back to him, or if it has got back to him, it's because everybody is telling him that this is the most amazing title he will ever have.
I thought you were saying it's like a man of the match type.
If they did do that, I would love it even more, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say they're a shot like from the cup? Is that
right?
That'd be awesome. Okay. Well, James, we could continue to waffle about random USL results. I'm sure we can make up some stuff and find, NPSL news to talk about. We're really scrapped for content. But there is certainly a Rowdies game to talk about. We talked about it a little bit, hinted at it. Away, it's Rhode Island FC, a stadium which looks pretty interesting, by the way. Really cool area, from what I understand. Never been up there. Tried to get up there when Georgetown played Providence, but, highly in demand tickets back then for college basketball drama, if you care to follow that. Cool area. Certainly trying to get up there one day. Won't be this year. It's a quick turnaround. But a big, big game coming up. Before we talk about that, James, I will throw in here a quick shameless plug for the RBLR Sports shop at shop.rblrsports.com. you could you could support us just a little bit more, because liking, subscribing is free. But if you want new threads, you can support this podcast by heading over there to shop.rblrsports.com and check out all the fun designs that have been cooked up. The link is in the description. James was pointing at it in the live stream and the video of this podcast. You're missing out on his pointing abilities if you're not watching the video. Again, the link is in the description. The promo code you can use is COYR for 10% off. Again, COYR, like James is pointing at, for 10% off your order. Lots of cool stuff over there. Go get some stuff and save 10% in the process. Yeah, plenty of fun stuff over there for the Rowdies games, your Rays games, your Lightning games, although the Rays season is already over, sadly. The Bucks season is in full swing. The Sun season is in full swing. Lightning season is about to get underway here. Without Steven Stamkos, sadly, but I'll save that for the folks at RBLR Lightning. Lots of fun stuff to buy over there. Check it out. RBLR Sports, shop.rblrsports.com. Promo code COYR for 10% off. Okay, James, tell us about who we're playing this weekend, because honestly, couldn't tell you much about these guys other than JJ Williams was sent off to them last offseason, and that my friend, I never really met this kid, Georgetown legend Jack Peniotu is playing for them as well. Who are we playing and why does it matter? I don't know. Who cares?
Well, this Saturday, we are going away to Rhode Island, and we'll be playing Rhode Island FC at 7:30, so tune into this one. I don't know if there will be any official watch parties or anything like that, but do stay tuned, obviously, to the team's social media. I'm sure that they have a lot to work out right now going on from front to back at the organization. So if not, just tune in on your local TVs. Of course, Rhode Island aren't doing what we thought they would before the season started, but they are still doing well. Carlos, you mentioned that sixth is not bad for an expansion team. It's not. We have seen expansion teams probably do better. We have definitely seen expansion teams do worse. Oh, yeah. So I think that honestly, their 43 points from 30 games is not that bad.
Yeah.
They lost two games before winning their last two games, including away to San Antonio FC, as I mentioned previously, and they have mostly at this point morphed into a 5-4-1 formation with Koke Vegas starting in net. He will sit behind Clay Holstad as the right wing back, Grant Stoneman, Karifa Yao, Frank Nodarcy, and Jojea Quizera as the left wing back. They would sit behind Stephen Turnbull and Mark Ibarra, as well as Zach Herivo, if you remember Zach Herivo, of course, a former Rowdies player as well. Noah Fuson would more than likely have gotten the start. However, he was actually sent off versus San Antonio, so you can expect him to not be available in this particular game. He will probably be replaced by the aforementioned Jack Peniotu, someone who went to Georgetown. And also, they will all be sitting behind Albert Dequa. Albert Dequa is a very big name in the USL Championship, and he has continued that at Rhode Island. He has 9 goals and 4 assists this season. That is pretty dang good. 9 goals and 4 assists. Nodarcy and Fuson have 5 goals each. The latter also is on 8 assists. Thank God he will be missing this one, I guess. JJ Williams, also previously mentioned, sits with Jojea Quizera on 5 assists so far this season. He is also their biggest chance creator, along with Quizera, and lots of Rowdies connections all over the team. Yep. I think we've already mentioned Herivo. We've mentioned JJ Williams. Who else am I forgetting? Am I forgetting other players?
I'm looking at their roster right now. I feel like that's as Rowdies related as it gets. Yeah. Yeah. They got some names from around the league that you
they definitely recognize. Do have some big ones.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at their roster. There's plenty of names you'll remember. You mentioned a few of them. I feel like Albert Dequa is a name that kind of shocked the USL world when they picked him up this offseason. He's certainly kind of is he living up to the hype, James? How many goals does he have this year? 9 goals, 4 assists in 27 matches. Okay. Certainly playing as a good enough striker for an expansion team. Albert Dequa's put up insane numbers in the past. This is kind of on
par. Yeah, I guess 9 for him isn't the best.
He's put up insane numbers in the past. He set the bar for himself very high. So certainly maybe slightly behind what we'd expect from him, which fares well for your Tampa Bay Rowdies. I said JJ Williams and him would be a lethal duo in this league once they started playing together. It hasn't really seemed to be their playing style. It seems like they've been running with one striker, just looking at the past, you know, rosters from or lineups from the last couple of games. Haven't really seen too much JJ Williams and Dequa together. But certainly a great rotation between the two of them. I mean, I wouldn't be complaining if I had those two as my attacking options. Flanked by some really great talent in Erivo, Peniotu, Fuson. So this is going to be a team that has all the talent to give us a real run for our money. Certainly can come out of there with a win. It'll be a good one, James, because I think we're in a position where I think we really need a win to kind of get some momentum going in these last few games of the year. We are coming up on, what, 5 games left, counting the one that was just postponed this past weekend. Every game matters, certainly for the points, if you want to hold on to the third place spot you previously had. I think more so at this point, it's about momentum for this club going into the playoffs. You want to start figuring things out now. It's kind of late in the year, but it certainly feels like we're still figuring some things out. Not a ton of great results in the past couple months. Certainly in need of some positive momentum going into the playoffs. So there's a lot at stake here. I'm very, very sad that Leo Fernandez is likely to make his record-breaking appearance away and not at home as we expected this past week. So maybe an early congratulations to him if he gets on the field, which I think is probably likely, James. Am I mistaken in saying that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so maybe an early congratulations to him. We'll circle back to this. We'll circle back to it if that's the case. But just keep an eye on that. Leo Fernandez potentially set to break the modern era Rowdy's appearance record with 174 total appearances, breaking Georgie Hristov's record, right? Mm-hmm. 173. Shout out, Georgie, right here. The bobblehead. You're missing the bobblehead if you're not watching the video, guys. Come on. So big day for him potentially, but hopefully an even bigger day for this Rowdy squad, who again I think maybe playing with a little extra motivation from this past weekend's chaos. Again, I don't know. I have no clue. I know there's at least one day that they didn't practice on that Thursday. Obviously that would make sense. That's when the hurricane was coming through. We got the notification that there was no practice from the media availability email, James. Don't know if they practiced Friday.
Right.
But certainly there wasn't a game this past weekend. Hopefully they're kind of back to normal as things can be yesterday on Monday. So a lot of external factors at play. Hopefully they play in our favor. We're playing away. Rhode Island is in a really good position to kind of, you know, make their way up the table, keep building on the momentum they have. It's going to be a really, really tight game. Certainly a good one, James. Anything else you want to mention here before we kind of jump into the predictions? Anything else you want to mention before you talk about how you think this game will go? Because again, I'm always a little optimistic, so I'm curious to see if you're feeling me or if you're going the James fashion, predicting a draw and a loss or a loss.
Usually I do that, and I will not give away how I'm leaning, but maybe it will be the usual. Yeah, I think that this is going to be a pretty tough test for the Rowdies for the desperation's sake for Rhode Island. Obviously, we are effectively within a playoff position. It would be very difficult to knock us out. Like, it's mathematically possible, but it's probably not going to happen over the course of the next couple of games. Yeah. That being said, we're obviously not in a good place as a team at the moment. And I hate to say that, but it's just the cold hard facts of the matter. And Rhode Island, on the other hand, are a team that can go up or can go down. They have obviously been up the last two games after being down the prior two games. So they are not in a place where we are barely clinging on at this point and scraping points out of even Miami FC, the game that we played them. So I am probably more bullish on a team at the moment on Rhode Island. But I still think that we have the quality to overcome them. And I know that they have been able to put it together a lot better as the season has gone by. And that's a testament to the manager of Rhode Island, Conno Smith. But at the same time, there are just players on the Rowdies team that if they can step it up, even for a couple minutes at a time, they can do some real damage. And if all we think is if all we need is to do it a couple minutes at a time, then I think Manuel Arteaga, Cal Jennings, Leo Fernandez, probably off the bench, will be able to do that. So I don't see us losing this game, but at the same time, Rhode Island are going to do everything they can because they're going to see this as a winnable game and they're going to want to win this one for sure.
Yeah, James. Hold on. Let me fact check what I'm about to say before I say it. I don't want to jinx them, but I don't really care. Okay. So Rhode Island is in a comfortable-ish spot, by the way, for playoff qualification. They're 5 points ahead of Loudoun United, who's 38 points. At least 5 points clear of that last playoff spot. So again, nothing secured. There's still 4 to 5 games left, depending on how many games you've played this year. Most teams are on 29. Well, all teams are on 29 or 30 games played. I don't think for them it's going to be a matter of getting into the playoffs, but they're in a position to leapfrog Indy 11 right now.
And maintain a little bit of a distance.
Mm-hmm, maintain that distance. And in theory, be in a position to leapfrog us, pending a couple big results that would fall in their favor. Obviously, a win against us would take away points from us and add to their point total. But you have to look ahead to the Rowdy schedule as well. Next couple of games include an away trip to Louisville City, right? Very difficult game. I might even be pessimistic that week and say we don't come out of there with a win, which would be huge for Rhode Island. So you kind of start to look ahead the next couple of weeks. Hypothetically, Rhode Island gets 3 points on us. Obviously not hoping that's the case. Then they'd be tied on points with us and we'd have that game in hand still. You go over to Louisville, maybe drop points, right? Rhode Island's still very much in the mix for a fourth place finish if they can get this huge, what would be a huge result for them against us. Again, not only would that qualify them to the playoffs, but I would give them a home game in that early part of the year, of the playoff part. Sorry, oh my goodness. That would give them an early first round home game in the playoffs, which would be huge, I think, for a first year team to have a playoff game at home in terms of kind of building their brand, building momentum. This is a lot at stake for Rhode Island FC, despite kind of already being in the playoffs, which again I would consider a success for a first year team in the USL. Okay, James, a couple questions/comments from our social medias and live streams. I think we get to that in a second. Let's give our predictions and then go to the extra time segment. I mentioned a couple of things, including these comments. Again, if you're watching this live, feel free to take a second, throw in any questions, comments, concerns. I don't know. Ask James like how his day is going. ask me what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. I don't know. Throw something on the Twitter live stream, Instagram live stream, YouTube, wherever you're watching. And we'll get to it in just a second here. Okay, James, all that being said, huge game for Rhode Island. Huge game for us in a slightly different manner. Need all the momentum we can get going into the playoffs. How do you think this game goes?
Yes, well, I have joined Eureka in predicting a draw. He went with a 1-1 draw, and I went with a 2-2 draw. Because I do see us getting... I do see us scoring, but unfortunately, I do see us also conceding. At least 2 on this one. So that's how I ended up on that one. Carlos, what about yourself? Are you leaning?
Where are we on the prediction standings?
I will tell you real quick. You come up with that and I'll get it.
Okay. Because I'm thinking how bold I want to be here, depending on how I'm doing the prediction standings.
14, 13, 12, Eureka.
Okay. So I have 14 points in our prediction standings. James has 13, Eureka has 12. Okay. Thinking about this strategically, I think both of you took the most reasonable results, right? So, I think a draw is very likely. That being said, I'm going to try and build some space, try and create a bigger gap here with my lead. I'm going to say we win 1-0.
Okay.
Say we're going into Rhode Island. We win 1-0. That's the exact score. I add 2 points to my prediction table lead. I start to pull away and crown myself the champion of the RBLR Sports Prediction League between me, James, and Eureka. Yeah. I also think it's a reasonable result, by the way. Like, I Rhode Island's a good team. I think we're due for a big result. I think this is a team that is going to have a lot to play for this week. Mentally, I just think there's just a lot to play for, right? This area kind of went through a lot. They're playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder after a string of pretty negative results. I think they're fiending for a match after not being able to play against Hartford this weekend. So I think it could go two ways. It could mean that we come out a little sloppy and Rhode Island takes advantage of that and pulls away and even comes out of there with a win. But I think it would also mean we come out onto that field with a lot of energy and kind of impose our will on this team. So I think it'll be a good win. I think it'll be really tight, but I think we can come out of there with a 1-0 win is my official prediction. Okay. James, important questions being asked on the live streams. Matt from Unused Substitutes asked me, what are your go-to hurricane snacks? James, what do you got?
Well, I can tell you what we had in this house, and we did have some popcorn. That was my wife's choice.
Boring.
I like the, and this is probably going to sound obnoxious, but I do like the Larry and Lenny's protein cookies. Those are pretty good. They're really good. They're like big cookies. They're soft baked, but they're supposed to be protein packed. So they're supposed to be as good for you as a cookie can be. Keep in mind it is a cookie. They're pretty good. I would recommend those. And then naturally we did have beers because it was supposed to hit on Thursday. My wife and I went out to the bar that's like in the next shopping plaza on Wednesday night. And we had a couple of beers at the bar, not a couple of bars at the beer. I haven't had anything to drink before we even started this, but, and then Thursday night, we also had a couple of beers as well. So, yes, I would recommend, as long as you're in a safe place, which luckily we were, a couple of beers to ride out a hurricane is always a good idea.
Yeah, I actually did that as well on Wednesday with my family. We went to a local bar around here in Altamar. They had trivia, so we ended up doing trivia. Team name was Cantore's Crew. Shout out Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel. Goated. We came in late, though, so we came in last place. We wagered all of our points at the end, and we finished with 0 points at the end of the night. But we had a few good drinks in the process. Good time. What did I snack on during the hurricane, though? I think I had a couple, like, cups of Cheetos. I think I had some Cheetos. My grandma came over and crashed at our place because the power went out at her house. So I think we had some... Yeah, we had some like good Ecuadorian food.
Oh, that sounds
good. So I know that's not something you can buy just at Publix before the hurricane, but if you have an Ecuadorian grandma, highly recommend having her over for the hurricane. Very hype in terms of the snack department. Eureka said his trivia name would be the Waffle House is closed. Yeah, that's a scary sight. The two things you run away from when there's a hurricane, when Cantore pulls up to your town and the Waffle House closes, very scary stuff. But Matt, thank you for the question. As you can tell, we're starved for content, just like I was during the hurricane and I was snacking on all the Ecuadorian food. Okay. A more serious question, James. This was from Instagram, Ags1995, gave us a question about our evaluation as professional podcasters and contracted RBLR sports journalists who make so much money from this podcast. Like, it's absurd. Like, at least 8 figures. He asks about how Robbie is doing from our perspective. James, I think I have kind of like a mixed bag of thoughts here. Where do you fall on this?
It's hard to nail it down, isn't it? Because obviously the team is in fourth place now. We had third place until this past weekend when Detroit leapfrogged us because we didn't get to play. Who's to say that we win that game? Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it is his first season. And so it's hard to say that I'm just going to go with third place. It is his first season, so it's really hard to say that third place in the Eastern Conference is a bad spot, obviously. However, at the same time, it is obvious to anyone who's going to be watching this podcast, anyone who's going to be listening to this podcast, or whatever third thing that I still haven't figured out what that would be.
Holograms.
Hologram podcast. Yeah. That this is not a good spot that the Rowdies are in right now. It would be hard for any of us, hologram or otherwise, to say that the Rowdies are doing well. And there have been multiple games this season where afterwards, and I'll just pull up the most immediate one in my head. After this game, I thought, oh my goodness, this is the team. This is the team that has what it takes. And this was after the home win versus Charleston, where we went down two, came back and won 4-2. And then you go and you watch the reverse fixture and you see the reverse performance too. It was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. The Rowdies looked really slow. The Rowdies looked out of ideas when we had the ball, but we barely had the ball compared to Charleston, who were always dangerous. They always had a new idea. They always had a new way to threaten us. And so it seems at this point then, because obviously our win came before theirs, it's possible that the wheels have fallen off this thing or whatever, but man, it's definitely gone sideways a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because, like, you kind of zoom out, right? And like you're saying, we're in third/fourth place right now, right? Not bad on the upper part of the table by a lot, right? Not by a lot of points, but you know what I'm saying. In third place, very much in the upper echelon of teams. But you kind of zoom out and you look at the last couple months, and you know, I'm using FOTMAP as like a reference here, and it's kind of just red, gray. Green, red, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's a lot of losses in there that if you kind of take this last few months out of context, it feels like what you would be seeing from like a Loudon last year, right? Mm-hmm. Just a lot of red, very few green, obviously green being the wins, right? Just very slow the last couple months, which I think I've taken a lot of air out of the sails in the last part of the season. It's been a mixed bag throughout most of the year, and somehow they've still been in the upper part of the table pretty consistently. I think it kind of speaks to kind of the gap we built in that middle part of the year, which I think was really fascinating, despite, you know, feeling like we don't have a lot going for us. Like, we've still managed to hold on to that kind of upper part of the table, second, third place, fourth place, right? And still, teams are just now catching up to us, despite 2 months of really, really negative results. So I think it somewhat speaks to Robbie's good results in this middle part of the year, especially. Had a good run of like, what, it was 7 or 8 unbeaten. That kind of helped us build that gap. But teams have caught up now. Teams have caught up now, and there's only 4 games left to be played. We're holding on for dear life in third and fourth place. And this roster is a first place roster, you know. Like, Louisville has a great roster, Charleston has a great roster, but honestly, on paper, I would take Rowdies' roster over Charleston. Charleston just put it together incredibly, and they have arguably one of the best forwards of all time in Nick Markanic at this level, right? So, sure.
Statistically.
Like, yeah, statistically. All that put into context, it's his first season in a new country, in a league that I think is really strange to get accustomed to if you're not familiar with it. How it operates, you know, the players, the movement, kind of just the culture, right? I give him a pretty good year of, you know, grace, all things considered, like how challenging that move must have been. He certainly had a great roster that I think was worthy of a higher position on this table, first or second place, right? But there's still a whole playoff run, hopefully, to be made. We still have a few games left to see if it comes together.
Yeah.
Right now, I would say it's a fine-ish year. But again, I'm giving him some grace this year because it's his first season. It's really difficult to come into a new team and immediately win it all in the first year, right? Regardless of where you go and regardless how good the team is. So that's fine. I'll give him a year of grace here. I think that's totally okay. And all that being said, still a decent year, and still playoffs to be had. So we could come back to this question at the end of the playoffs and win the entire thing and be like, you know what? Pretty good year. That's okay. James, another question here from TB Rowdy's fan on Instagram, on the IG Live. Do you think we get a home playoff game?
After going off of the same answer that I just had, I was granting us third place. That would be at least a playoff game, if not two. So I would still lean that I will expect to see us get a home playoff game. Hopefully that takes place at Al Lang. But obviously we will see how it goes. I guess almost a month's time now.
The playoff time is coming up on us real quick. I think it would be pretty challenging. Like, it would take a pretty significant we have a pretty good lead or hold on that fourth place spot. Hypothetically, if Rhode Island or Indy 11 caught up with us, got tied up on points, we have a pretty good advantage in the goal differential department, which is nice to have. I think it would take a little bit for us to kind of lose that. And I'm certainly hopeful that we pick up a couple wins out of these last five games, at least a couple wins, that would help us secure that fourth place spot, maybe hopefully a third place spot. Because you look ahead at the next couple of games, right? We away to Rhode Island, away to Louisville, challenging. But then you're home, hopefully at some point soon, to Hartford, home to North Carolina, who's not doing too hot, and home to Indy, who's a decent team. You get a couple wins out of these five games, and you should be in business for at least a home playoff game, hopefully, maybe even third place. So get at least 6 points out of this. I think you should probably aim for more. I think there's more winnable games here. Don't expect a lot in Louisville, right? But this game in Rhode Island should get you some points, hopefully, at least as raw. Game against Hartford, hopefully, is a win. Game against North Carolina should be a win. Game against Indy is a good shot for 3 points, at least as raw as well. So I think we're in business for at least a home game. Please don't clip this and come back at the end of the year and call me an idiot because I'm wrong, because it looks like a pretty good take right now. But I guess it could be wrong by the end of this season. Again, 1 month's time, wherever it is we're playing home games, who knows if Al Lang's going to be in good condition by then. They'd be kind of hype if we played at like the Sun Stadium for a little bit. Help us out. Let me find out. It's on the water still. It's in Tampa. Yeah. It's on the water in St. Pete. It's just a different kind of water, but hey, we're there. Or what if we sell out like Raymond James Stadium, 60,000 people in the playoffs?
I think we could make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. James, there's one more question that came in from Gym Class Hero on Instagram Live. Favorite kind of beer? Because we started talking about it. Again, we've actually made good time with all this, actually. I feel like we've squeezed in a lot here, despite being starved for content. I think this is a good live question to wrap us up here. I think we should do like a beer episode when we're really starved for content.
Okay.
We can do like a drinking game with this. I think it'd be a good time, James. Favorite kind of beer, James, take us away. Your thoughts.
Well, my favorite kind of beer largely is dark beers. So I'm assuming that they wanted something a little more specific than that. Oh. If I were going to go for a brand, just as I did when we went out to get dinner last night, I would go for a Modelo Negra. That is probably the beer that I would jump to the soonest. It is a very good dark beer. If you're looking for a craft beer, I would recommend Cigar City's Maduro. That is a very good brown beer as well. So two quick recommendations if you have any similar taste buds to me.
I can't disassociate a hot day on the beach, and I can't like not think of that with a Corona Light and a lime. So that's always a classic for me. But I know we talk about Berry House a lot, but like actually yesterday I was at World of Beer watching. Sorry, on Sunday I was at World of Beer watching the Bucks game with a couple friends. And they have a Berry House beer at World of Beer by the airport. I can't tell you which one it was, not because I'm like signed like an NDA or something. Just I forgot. I forgot what beer it was. But James, I don't know what it was, but it was the best beer I've had in a very long time. So go to the World of Beer by the airport and get whichever beer it is that's Berry House there. Because it's only one. They have one Berry House beer there. It was fantastic. Changed my life. it's not changed my life, but you get what I'm saying. It was very good.
Very close to changing your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, that's my take. That's my take on this. I could talk about a variety of beers, James, but I think it's a good place to stop and mention a couple more things in the extra time segment before we wrap up here. Like I said, the Rays and the Rowdies have pledged to contribute $1 million to relief efforts following Hurricane Helene coming through here. This is just straight from Twitter, by the way. I'm looking at this. They're contributing to United Way Suncoast, Feeding Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber of Commerce, and the City of St. Petersburg's relief efforts. This is from, again, from Twitter, from the Rays Twitter account. These coastal cities, like, you know, I'm taking note that they mentioned the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber of Commerce. So many small businesses literally swept away in these beach towns, James. I know, like, John's Pass, for example, destroyed, like, super touristy area, area that survives on tourism. Lots of restaurants that I usually go to over there when I'm around the beach, swept away, closed right now. No clue about when they're going to reopen.
Yeah.
So stuff like this is I think pretty huge for these businesses. And I hope, you know, I know the other teams followed suit. I hope just as a community, we can continue to support these communities that have struggled a lot. And congrats to the Rowdies and the Rays for not congrats on the right word. Kudos to the Rowdies and the Rays.
Kudos, yeah.
For kind of helping set a good example for that. Speaking of that, James, I saw this was just from the Rouse Mob Discord. I saw several folks mentioning that the Rowdies called, you know, a bunch of their season ticket holders to check in on how they're doing. I think that's really great to hear. This club has always been really good about fostering the community that it has around it. I think it's really lovely to hear that folks were receiving calls from the club, checking in, seeing how folks are doing. No marketing or anything, no ticket sales, just quite literally checking in. So good on the Rowdies for doing that. That's really good to hear. Again, so many folks have been affected by this in ways that we can't even really imagine. So I think the Rowdies playing at least a small role in doing their part is very good to hear, James, because I don't know, this is soccer at the end of the day, right? And it's a huge part of my life. It's good to know that the club I love so much and, you know, spend so much money on and spend so much time on, right, cares about its community in the way they do. So good on them. Good on them. Good on the Rowdies. Good on the Rays. And all the teams in the Tampa area who seem to have contributed to the whole relief effort. So good on them. Shout out Tampa Bay. Love this area. Love the people here. Great community.
There we go. I think that is a good place to leave it. And we will say thank you, listeners, for tuning in on, tuning in whether you did via the live show or listening when it came out tomorrow, which is probably Wednesday, or whenever you happen to listen to it. But we always appreciate when you listen. Please help us out by following RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere at RBLR Sports. I am mostly on Twitter, as you can see below. There we go. At RBLR James K. If you would like to get at me, Carlos, what about you?
At Carlos GPA Town on Twitter. Again, you can see that below as well. Oh, there we go. I got it. Shout out to everybody who was asking us questions in the Instagram live on Twitter. Appreciate you guys, especially this time when there was no game to review from this past week. Always love hearing any questions, any comments, any concerns from everybody in this podcast. I think it's really great to kind of get everybody else involved, and especially in this week when we might have been slightly starved for content, James.
A little bit.
I think it came in great use. So thank you to everybody for contributing as well.
And with that, we would just ask for you to like and subscribe to our podcast. As we have said, you can get the full experience on YouTube, but if you prefer, you can also just listen to us on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you want to tune in, or Hologram. We know that Eureka hooks that up with the people who are involved there.
Yeah, like so, VR something. I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
For one more week without a game, but certainly one game coming up. Come on, you Rowdies.
Let's go. Let's go, James.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.